Following audio is from Living Waters Christian Church, located in Buxton, Maine. Please feel free to share this podcast and make copies, but please do not charge for those copies or alter them in any way. For more information about Living Waters, please visit www.lwaters.net.
I want to talk with you this morning about what I believe is the most powerful tool or gift and ability that God has given us as His creation. And I think if I opened it up at this time and said, what do you think that is? What is the most powerful tool that God has given us? You know, we probably get almost as many answers as there are people. But I want to share with you what I believe, and it's something that we take for granted, but it's absolutely essential in our walk with God, that I believe is the most powerful tool that God has given us, that we have access to as His people. And before we do, I just want to pray that God will seal this word, amen, to our hearts. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to look into Your word together. Thank You for each one that's here today. And pray that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what Your Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, I pray that each one would receive personal attention from You this morning. That You would, God, that they would hear in their own language Your voice and Your voice alone. I pray for souls to be saved, for confusion to be cleared up. God, for the oppressed to be set free, for the sick to be healed. God, and that as life flows from Your word today, that lives would be transformed. Lord, as we dare to trust You and believe You, in Jesus' name, amen. The most powerful tool I believe that God has given us is the power of choice. He's given us a free will. Now, I want you to think about that just for a moment. The power of choice, the ability to say yes, Lord, or no, Lord. You know, Adam and Eve had the power to choose. They made a real bad decision with their choice. We're paying for that choice to this day. Amen. It cost Jesus His life, that choice that they made. God has given us a free will. He's given us the power to choose. And I believe that the quality of life that we know and that we experience rests on our choices. On how we choose. How we choose and the choices that we make, and they're day by day. They're moment by moment. We can be faced with a choice at any given time that can radically change our lives for the good or for the worst. Prisons are full of people that made an instant choice. It was a wrong choice. Amen? Hospitals are full of folks many times that might have made a bad choice. I heard a pastor talking this morning how when he was 19 years old, him and his brother were racing 100 miles an hour down Interstate 64. And they were laughing and having a great time, and they were doing 100 miles an hour or better, and they thought that was great. And he said finally the brother backed off in the race because he knew there was a corner coming up. He knew one of them would die if somebody did not back off. He said at 19 years old, they thought that was fun and they were laughing going down the highway. He said, today, I'm a different person. I don't think like that. He would never make that choice because as a pastor and having done funerals and having gone to the hospitals and having to do visits and seeing body parts strewn along the highway and the things that he had experienced since he was 19 to the present told him that that wasn't a smart choice when he was 19. And so we see that the quality of life that we have is determined by the choices that we make. We face many choices throughout our days and our life. And the choices that we make, they're not done in a vacuum. They'll affect others. Or maybe you've been greatly affected positively or negatively by someone else's choices in their life. You know, we like to think that we're kind of an entity unto ourselves and the choices we make only affect us, but that's not true. The choices we make can have lasting effects, can have effects on generation after generation after generation. I'm sure as we look back over our lives, there are choices we wished we had made different. Have you ever wanted a do-over in life? Some things that in the heat of the moment, or you really thought it was the right choice, you really believed that it was the right choice, but all of a sudden, down the road, it proves out it was not a wise choice, wasn't a good choice. Yeah, anybody ever done that besides me? Amen. Made a bad choice. Well, I believe we all have. The good news is the Lord is able to take it all and bring about his redemptive purposes through it all. Amen? God won't waste anything. That's the awesome thing about serving God. He said, I'll work all things together for good. If you love me and you trust me, I'll work all things together for good. Those that love me and that are trusting me, and I'll take the good, I'll take the bad, I'll take the ugly, I'll take the sum total of your life, amen, as you present it at the foot of the cross, and I'll bring about my redemptive purposes. He's not going to waste anything. Amen? But choices are important. Some choices, you know, God can forgive us and God can heal us or deliver us or restore, but the consequences of those choices we can't get back. Amen? Some of those choices we have to live with. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses was talking to the children of Israel before they went into the promised land. You see, they had already experienced some bad choices in their wilderness wanderings. And in fact, it was a bad choice that kept them in the wilderness until a generation wore off. You remember the 12 spies came back? 10 had a negative report. 2 had a positive report. They said, hey, listen, it's just like God said. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. Look, here's the fruit of it. They had grapes from Eshcol, amen, that were huge. They were huge, and they could see the fruit, and they said, yes, it's just like God promised. There's a land that flows with milk and honey. There's houses we didn't build, there's wells we didn't dig, and vineyards that we didn't plant, and it's all there for the taking. But there's a few giants in the land. A little bit of resistance. If you're saved this morning, you know what I'm talking about. You don't just waltz right into the kingdom and not meet some resistance. There's an enemy that wants to try to trip you up, that wants to try to destroy you. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You need to understand that this morning. Joshua and Caleb understood that. They believed the report of the Lord. God said, I have given you that land. It's yours. They believed it. They wanted to go in, but the 10 spies gave a negative report. And so the people of Israel, the children of Israel, had a choice. Who are we going to believe? You will always act on your choices. You will act on your belief system. Your belief system will determine how you act. And so they had a negative report. They had a positive report. They had an opportunity to choose. They were afraid. Fear won the day, not faith, not the promises of God, not the character and nature of God. And so they chose not to enter in. And God said, I'm going to wait until this generation dies off. Joshua and Caleb, you're going in because you're of another spirit. Something else is governing your life. Amen. There's a different government inside you. It's called the Holy Spirit. And so you go in, but you're going to have to wait 40 years for this generation to die off. It was a bad choice. Now we fast forward 40 years, and they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And Moses says this in Deuteronomy chapter 30 in verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us to bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Or it is beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? He's saying, listen, when I'm about to tell you what God's been telling you all along, this isn't rocket science. He said, this is a choice. In fact, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, you don't have to turn to it, but Paul quotes this very scripture and describes the very word that he's talking about. He said, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and your heart, that you may do it. And in Romans 8:10, it says, the word of faith. Faith is a choice. You can choose to believe God or not believe God. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. In verse 15, it says, see. He wants them to understand. He wants to perceive. He's not talking about optic vision here. He's not talking about with their natural eyes. He said, listen, I want you to see with different eyes. I want you to see with the eyes of the Spirit. He said, see. He said, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. You know, the choices all come down to this, pretty much, that we make day to day. In verse 16, he said, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you go to possess. He's saying, listen, don't rebel like you did before. He said, you don't have to try to pull something down from heaven. You don't have to pull something from the sea or something from beneath. He said, it's a word. It's a word of faith. It's nigh unto you. It's trusting God. It's honoring his word and living by faith in the one who created you. And down in verse 19, he says, listen to this. This is huge. He said, I call heaven and earth to witness as witnesses today against you. Heaven and earth witnessing that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then in case they have trouble deciding, he says, choose life. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. The choices we make, like I said, are not in a vacuum. They will affect other people. He said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Amen. I've chosen life over the years. I've made some good choices. I've made some bad choices, but I've made some good choices. Amen. When I said yes, Jesus, I chose life. When I said, Lord, I don't want to try to hold myself up by my own bootstraps. I can't do this anymore. God, I have got to have you. I am trusting in your cross, in your death, in your burial, in your resurrection, in your atoning work at Calvary for my life, for my sin, for my sickness, for my disease, for my peace, for my joy, for my comfort, for my strength. Amen. For life and life more abundantly. I said, yes, Lord. And I bowed my knee to him and I said, I want to serve you. I want to live for you. I want you to take control of my life. I chose life. Amen. Any of you ever chose life in that realm? Amen. Well, you said, Lord, I have got to have you no matter what. I have got to have you. We chose life. But the second best choice I ever made is when I said, I prayed to God when I was 14 years old. I'm letting you into my heart here a little bit. I was 14 years old. I had a couple girlfriends before then, you know. That all happens when you, in the teenage years. And I always took my relationship serious, even when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. And a couple of girls broke up with me, and I was crushed. I was heartbroken. I'd had it. 13, 14, I'd had it. Some of you guys are laughing. So at 14, I remember walking along the beach, and I said, Lord, the next girl I date, I want to be my wife one day. 14 years old, I said that. I had no idea that God would honor that prayer. But I cried out to God, I want that to be my wife one day. And I've been married to her for 37 years now. We dated since, we waited until we were 18 before we got married. But we started, about 3 weeks later, I met my wife. Great choice. It was a great choice. Amen. That was second best choice I ever made next to Jesus. Amen. And between them two, I'm still standing. To his work on the cross and her intercession and her faithfulness. Amen. I won't get into the whole marriage thing now. We could talk months on that. Guys, love your wives like Christ does the church. And women, respect your husbands. Amen. Respect your husbands. Love on your wives. And God will bless you. Amen. God gives it. He's the God of first chances, second chances, third chances. Amen. In life, we might make some bad mistakes, but when we trust Him, when we say, Lord, I'm done. I'm trying to do it myself. I'm going to trust You. Then He'll show up. I've set before You life and death, blessing and cursing. He said, choose life. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life. Do you know, He's the light of the world. He's the life of the world. In Him we have life, and life more abundantly, He says. Life is in the Son, it says in 1 John. The life is in the Son. You don't have the Son, you don't have life. Not the kind of life that He's talking about. Now, we might be breathing, we might be taking up space here in the cosmos, but we don't have life apart from Jesus. Amen? He's the author and finisher of our faith, and He's the author and finisher of our life. He's the life giver. He said, cling to Him. That's a good choice. Cling to Him, for He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. So Moses, just before he was about ready to leave the scene, he gathers there was probably upwards to 800,000 or a million Israelites at that time. That's a big church Moses pastored, amen? He gathered them together before he went up to the mountain and died. He said, listen, you're going to have opportunity to choose blessing, cursing, life, death. Choose life. Cling to Him. Cling to Him, and you'll have life. The power to choose. I want to empower you this morning. I've done this in counseling sessions, and I've watched light bulbs go on, and people get faith for things. But I want to empower you this morning. You know, your past doesn't define you. Even wrong choices you've made doesn't have to define you. Amen. It's never too late to start choosing right. But you know, you can choose life. You can choose to walk in peace. It's a choice. You can choose to forgive. Now, I know what you're thinking. We're going to get a little deeper here. I know what you're thinking. Well, but what about all the emotion? What about my circumstances? Or what about you don't know what happened to me? I'm just telling you, you can choose life and death, blessing and cursing. Amen. And if we want to really get free, we got to understand the power of choice. Because if we don't understand the power of choice, whatever person that's hurt you or offended you or rejected you or abused you or done something to you controls your life. They have a measure of control over your life. Now, they can't have that control unless you give that to them. Because you've chosen to hang on to that. You've chosen to embrace that, and you've chosen to let that be a part of what defines you and identifies you as a person. You don't have to choose that. That falls under the curse end of things, under the evil end of things. Amen? Why? Because Jesus came, and He broke every curse. Every generational curse, every curse over your life. He took the wrath that was due us for our sin upon Himself, and He died so that we could live. because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The power of sin is broken over your life. The power of sickness is broken over your life through Calvary. The power of of unforgiveness and bitterness and offense, that's been broken. The chastisement of our peace he took upon himself so that we could walk in peace. Amen. He's given us joy. Amen. Instead of sorrow and anguish. And we can choose to say yes and to embrace the cross and embrace his sacrifice, or we can continue to live letting other people or other things control our lives. It's a choice. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Do you know you can choose to live free from offense? Paul prayed it in Philippians. He said, he prayed for the Philippian church. He said, I pray that you live free from offense until the day of Jesus Christ. Offense can be a stinker. Unforgiveness and bitterness, man, they can eat you up. What I read one thing the other day, it said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person gets sick. Doesn't work that way, does it? Amen. They're choices that we can make. You can choose to love. You can choose to speak life over situations instead of death. You can choose faith. You can choose peace. You can choose faith rather than anxiety and fear. You can choose peace. And now, these are not circumstantial. You need to understand that. Otherwise, Paul from prison couldn't say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In an inner prison fastened in stocks. Peter couldn't be worshiping it. Paul and Silas worshiping at midnight, and to the point that God just got right into the worship. Amen. I think God likes that. You know, when we're going through a difficult time, when it's hardest in our lives, when we've been misunderstood. Now, these boys were only thrown in prison for preaching the gospel, healing people, delivering people, seeing people set free. The religious leaders got ticked. They threw them in prison. They beat them and threw them in prison. They whipped them and threw them in prison. Amen. And they weren't like our prisons in America. These were real prisons. Amen. They were fastened in leg irons and chains. And it was kind of the off-scouring place of their community. And what did they do at midnight? God, all we're doing is preaching the gospel. All we're doing is trying to obey you. You told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. All we're doing. And look, this is what happens to us. You can read it. It's in the book of Acts. That's not what they said. Trust me. Now, wouldn't they have been justified in the natural, the way you would naturally think? Man, they're just doing God's work. And you know, most of us have never got a black eye for the kingdom. And yet we whine and complain and moan. And am I getting too personal? You got to love me. You can't go to heaven if you don't forgive me. Amen. God wants to raise the bar in our lives. Amen? Because there's some things coming that we're going to have to get a hold of God for. We better have something in God. Can I share that? Well, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth. We can't let these little petty things destroy us. If we can't walk with a footman, he said, what are you going to do with a horseman in the day of battle? If we can't get a grip on some of this stuff, you know what Paul and Silas did? They started singing and worshiping in prison. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm counted worthy to suffer for your sake. Servant's not above his master. They killed you, they'll probably kill me. Glory to God. And they began to worship, and they began to sing praises. And I think God got into it. You know, God likes worship. That's why we do it here. God likes worship. And I could just picture God up in heaven right now. Now, this isn't in the Bible. This is me. You need to understand, especially on internet, and let's listen to. You know, God gets into the worship, and he starts tapping his foot. Listen to that. Hey, Gabriel, come here. Look at these boys. Man, they've just been beat. for my sake, for the glory. They've been doing my business. They've been preaching the gospel. They've been laying hands on people. They've been getting sick. Been starting churches. They wind up in the slammer, and now they're worshiping and they're praising. You just can't shut those boys up, man. They just love me. And he's tapping his foot up there in heaven. Amen. He's getting into the worship and bragging on the apostles in the jail. And all of a sudden, he gets tapping too much, and the jailhouse starts rocking. Amen. And the prison doors start flying, and the shackles start coming off. And the guard gets scared, and he pulls the knife, and he's going to cut himself because he knows anybody escapes, it's his life. And Paul says, oh, no, 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 don't do that. We're all still here. We're not going anywhere. See, his praise was a choice. It wasn't based on his circumstances. Those aren't fun circumstances to worship God in. Amen? But he chose. And what happened? It released the life of God into their circumstance, into their situation, and there was freedom in the midst of the imprisonment. You see, I want to tell you this morning, they were free before the cells opened. Because real freedom's in here. Real freedom's in Christ. Amen. It isn't geographical. It isn't circumstantial. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life. You can be free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so they tell the jailer, they said, don't kill yourself. We're all still here. So he invites them over. Cleans their wounds, patches them up, whole family gets saved. They go out and have a baptism in the middle of the night. Whole household got saved after the jailer gave his heart to God. He brought them home. The same guy that was watching them and guarding them and keeping them in prison. You see, Paul's choice, Silas's choice to worship affected a lot of people for all eternity. It affected people for all eternity. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 13, he said, I've given you the land which you did not labor. Now Joshua's picked up the baton now after Moses left the scene. And he's saying here, speaking for the Lord, I've given you the land for which you did not labor and cities which you did not build. This is Joshua 24:13. And you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and the olive groves, which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river of Egypt, and serve the Lord. They always struggle with who they were going to serve. No different today. We might dress it up in different things, but it's very much the same battle. Our choices determine who we're serving. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, Joshua says this, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served who were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites on whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He made a choice. He drew a line in the sand. You see, he'd already wandered around the wilderness 40 years, waiting for a generation to die off that was riddled with fear and unbelief. And now he's in the promised land. And now he's at the end of his journey. And he's saying, listen, nothing's changed, guys. If you want the blessing of the Lord on your life, keep choosing life. Keep serving Him. Cling to Him. Make the right choice. In 1 Kings chapter 18, I love this account in the scripture. First Kings 18 and verse 20, it says, so Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. It's going to be a showdown between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. Verse 21, Elijah came and all the people and said, how long will you falter or be halt, it says in the King James, between two opinions? In other words, you've got to make a choice. You know, the Bible says in James 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There's only one thing worse than not making a choice, and that's keep vacillating between two opinions so that you can't not making the right choice, and that's not being able to make any choice. In Revelation, he said the lukewarm get spit out. We either got to get in or get out. Amen? If you're out, at least you know you're out, and then God can draw you in. If you think you're okay, he told the church at Laodicea, what made that so dangerous? He said, because thou thinkest, because you think you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you don't know. You're blind, you're miserable, you're naked. You don't know it. See, there was a deception because they thought they were all right. There's a lot of churches, a lot of believers today that think they're all right. But God has more for them. More for us. Amen? So Elijah came to the people in verse 21 and he said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered not a word. Can you believe it? They couldn't make a choice. Elijah challenged him. He said, look, you got a choice. God, Baal. Whatever one you think's God, serve him. But don't serve both. The people never answered the word. Never answered a word. Now, here, what we're about to see is the love of God. To me, it's one of the most amazing acts, and you might not think so when you read this, but one of the most amazing acts of the love of God towards his people, trying to show them. You know, the Bible says in Ezekiel, the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro throughout the whole earth. They're on scan. God's eyes are on scan throughout the whole earth that he might show himself strong in their behalf. You see, God didn't want them to be faltering between two opinions either. He wanted them to know that he loved them, that he wanted to bless them, and that they could make choices that would position them for blessing. So Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. One against 450. That's about the odds that God gives us most of the time. He wants us to depend on him. If you're not in over your head, doesn't require faith. Amen? I've learned that many years ago. We walk by faith, not by sight. If you can handle what you're up against, then you don't need God. I can't handle most of the things I'm up against. If God don't do it, it doesn't get done. Amen? Therefore, he said, let them give us two bulls and let them choose a bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it upon wood, put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he's God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. All right, this is showdown time. Let's see who's really God. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first. For you are many and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. Elijah says, you're up first. You're up to bat first. Go ahead. Build your altar, do anything you want. Put the sacrifice on it. Just don't light it. Remember, the God that answers by fire, he's God. So they took the bull that was given them in verse 26, and they prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leapt about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked and said, Elijah's going to have a little fun here. See, no God, no fire fallen yet, so Elijah's going to enjoy himself a little bit. And he says, well, cry louder. Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's meditating, or maybe he's just busy. Or maybe he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. You know, Elijah was pretty confident in God. I mean, he was outnumbered 450-1. And here he is, joking with them. Maybe he's taking a nap. You got to wake him up. Maybe, Maybe he's on a trip, on vacation. Maybe, you know, just, you know, got to try him later. I love how, that God is so good to include all this in the scripture, because these guys, you know, they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like us. They were real people that served a real God, and they made real mistakes, and they made some right choices. Amen? And it's all here for us to see, for our benefit, for our example. And so they cried aloud, and they cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. You got to give them credit for sincerity. They're jumping on the altar. They're cutting themselves with knives and lances until the blood gushed out, trying to force Baal to respond. God gave me a revelation many years ago. That's where cutting comes from, by the way. Same spirit. Trying to kill one pain with other pain. But people don't understand it's a spiritual issue that God wants to heal and God wants to deliver. They're some of the most hurt people that cut us, some of the most hurting people on the planet. And they need to be loved on and shown that there's a better way, not condemned and ridiculed and put down. Amen? Can I just say that? That wasn't in the message, but it won't cost you anymore. Amen? It's true. This is where it comes from right here. This is the spirit of it. They cut themselves with knives, with lances, trying to force Baal's hand. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. They're losing momentum. And they're losing blood. Then Elijah said in verse 30 to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. This shows you the state that they were in spiritually. The altar of the Lord was broken down. It was neglected. Nobody was sacrificing. Nobody was worshiping God. The altar was all falling apart. God said, Elijah said, first thing we're going to do is going to repair the altar, the prescribed method that God gave to offer sacrifice. And so they repaired the altar. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes, the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And then with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two seeds of seed. This was a huge trench he made around the altar. And he put the wood in order. God does things decently in order. He cut the bull in pieces and he laid it on the wood and said, "Fill your water pots with oil and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." How many of you know that's not really conducive to fire? He says, "I want you to fill some water pots and I want you to dump it on the sacrifice. We're going to make it hard for God." Amen. One lady said one time to one of the teachers at Bible school, said, do you think God cares about the little things? And the teacher said, "Can you think of anything that's not little to God?" They're going to try to make this sacrifice a little harder. So he said, "Go ahead and wet it down." And he said, "Go ahead and fill them again, wet them down again. And do it a third time. Go fill your water pots, wet it down again." So we've got a bull that's soaked in water with the water running through the sacrifice on the wood that needs to be ignited here to consume the sacrifice, so much so that it filled the trenches around the altar. A drenched, water-soaked sacrifice. Verse 35, so the water ran around the altar and also filled the trench with water. Verse 36, and it came to pass at that time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, listen to this, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day," I love this prayer, "that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I've done all these things at your word." See, Elijah didn't just decide, "I think I'm going to take on the prophets of Baal." Because shortly after this, one queen, Jezebel, puts a price out on his head and he runs for his life. And that's another whole subject, the Jezebel spirit. This prophet of God ran for his life. But he had a word from God. He said, God had told Elijah, I'm tired of my people not wondering what, not knowing who's God, not knowing who's to serve. They've lost sight of me. He said, so I want you to challenge these prophets of Baal. Elijah said, tell them I've done all this at your word. And I want to show them once and for all who's God. And so Elijah chose to obey God. And their nation was at stake. Their heritage was at stake. Maybe our redemption was at stake. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that the people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Simple little prayer. God, tell them, show them, Lord, that you're God. He was preeminent. That I'm your servant. I'm just your servant. And that I've done all this at your word. Hear me, Lord, so that these people will know how real you are, how much you really love them. Verse 38, I love this. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Man, how can you not like that? He said the fire of God fell. Not only did it consume the sacrifice, consume the wood, but consume the altar, consume the dust that was left, and consume the water that was in the trench. Now when the people saw it in verse 39, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. You know, that's a great story to read in the Old Testament. It's true. It's a real event in human history. But do you know the sacrifices that God desires to consume now? It's you and I. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29 that our God is a consuming fire. And He wants to get rid of the hay, the wood, and the stubble. He says you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. God talks about in Romans, He tells us that we are to be living sacrifices. Because He died for us, we're to be living sacrifices for Him. And God wants to, once again, we sang it today, let the fire fall. He wants to consume our lives with His presence, with the fire of His Spirit, with the power of the Holy Ghost, because there still is a generation that needs to know who's God. There's the God, we may not call Him Baal. There's millions of gods in India. There's millions of gods that are served. But in this country, we've got the God of humanism. The God of materialism. The God of self-sufficiency and pride. We worship ourselves in this country. We think that we're the chief end and we've got all the answers and the universe revolves around us. It's a lie from the pit. There's still a generation out there that's wondering who's really God. Some of them aren't speaking up, some of them are. And God says, I want you to choose life, and I want you to choose it so much that the fire of God falls, that my fire falls, consumes up all the junk, all the hay, wood, and stubble, refines those things that are of God, gets so filled with the Holy Ghost that we burn with the fire of God, amen, as a testimony to this generation who God really is. You believe it? When souls are saved, sick is healed, the dead are raised. Amen. Captives are set free. Where the fire of God burns. Amen. Jesus said this, the works I do, you'll do. And greater works, because I go to the Father. You know, that greater works has always troubled me. I'm saying, man, how do you one-up Jesus? You know, how do you do greater works than Jesus? And then the Lord showed me in the scripture, when Jesus was talking, I can't remember which one he was talking to, if it was Nathaniel. And it hit me one day. He said to him, you believe because because I said while you were under the fig tree, I think that was the context, that I saw you. I think he was repenting, and God saw that, because he goes, when Nathanael was coming, he said, an Israelite in whom there's no guile. And he said, you're going to see greater things than these. You're going to see the dead raised. You're going to see the dead come to life again. And I wonder if that isn't the greater works that God is talking about, where actually people die and the power of God is manifest and they're resurrected for his glory. You and I moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's already been many resurrections in the body of Christ since Jesus' time. Smith Wigglesworth, I believe they've documented 21 resurrections. Smith Wigglesworth, that were proven medically. They think there was more, but they were proven to be resurrection. Greater works. He operated in the greater works realm. It's available. Works that you do. If we're willing to let the fire of God, if we're willing to choose life, choose joy, choose the peace, choose to cling to him, amen, choose blessing, not cursing. You know, you can choose your attitude. You might wake up and think that's just what you got stuck with for the day, but that isn't true. You can choose your attitude. Amen. You made a choice this morning to come to church. I happen to think it was a good choice. And you can choose your attitude while you're here. Amen. We can position ourselves, every moment of every day, we can position ourselves for blessing. Life and blessing. Life and blessing. Simply by the choices that we make. Are we choosing him? Are we choosing to give into the flesh? Are we choosing to give into our emotions? Are we choosing to give into our circumstances? Are we choosing to give into our past, our history? Who defines you this morning? Is it him? Who are you clinging to? Is it him? The fire of the Lord fell. Consume the sacrifice. You run after him with all your heart, and his fire will fall and will consume the sacrifice. I believe a perfect picture of this is in Exodus, when Moses saw the burning bush and he was on his way to the mountain of God. The Bible says he was on his way, the will and purposes of God, the mountain of God, but something got his attention. There was a bush that was burning off to the side and it wasn't consumed. And he said this in his heart. He was just being faithful with what God gave him to do. He said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. He was willing to get interrupted for a supernatural encounter with God. He said, I will now turn aside. In other words, it's not business as usual. It's not routine as usual. No, there's something more. He said, I'm going to turn aside and see why this bush is not consumed. And God spoke to him. It says, the very wording, it says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside, he spoke. Moses made a choice. It's not business as usual. I'm not going to just go through the motions of life. God has a plan for me. And he turned and he responded to the supernatural call of God on his life. And when God saw that he turned aside, God spoke to him. He said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. And he was commissioned to be the deliverer of God's people. It was time for him to go. Are you willing to turn aside? Amen. For the fire of God. Are you willing to let God interrupt your schedule? Maybe get up a little earlier. Spend time in the presence of God. Stay up a little later. Maybe shut the TV off a little bit. And the computer and the phones. And everything's so accessible now. Amen. And say, God, I got to have you. I choose life. There's so many things that we can put into our spirit that aren't life. And then there's the life giver. I want to encourage you this morning, cling to him. Amen. Cling to him. Burn for him and show this generation God is still alive and well. Can we stand to our feet this morning? The worship team comes. We're going to close in worship. And as they come, I just want to take a moment to allow the Holy Spirit to seal this message. You know, the Bible says of the Israelites, it says that the word did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. Amen. The faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We need both ingredients for lives to be transformed and for the power of God to be released in our lives. And we need both ingredients to make right choices. Amen. So I want to give an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to seal his word to our hearts this morning. And so while you're standing right there, if God has spoke to you or challenged you, and maybe you've been struggling with some decisions, some choices, or maybe you've been in bondage to some decisions that you've made, or maybe you've been affected negatively in a negative way by some decisions other people made that you had no control over and you had no choice in the matter, but it's ate at you and ate at you and ate at you, and you can't seem to shake it. I believe God wants to set you free this morning. He wants to break that generational curse over your life. He wants you to understand. He wants you to be empowered this morning that their choices affected them, but your choice can affect you and set you free. If you're willing to choose life this morning. If you would like me to pray for you in closing, would you just lift your hands toward heaven and lift your hearts up before the Lord and let me pray for you. I count it a privilege to be able to pray for you this morning. And we're going to open up the altar if you need special prayer or if you don't know the Lord. As we worship the Lord together, please come down. We want to help you on into the kingdom. And if you never given your heart to the Lord, we'll help you with that. Amen. If you don't want to come alone, grab somebody next to you. Anybody would be glad to come down with you. But let's pray for those whose hands and hearts are raised this morning. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we know that there's so much more, Lord God, that's available to us in you. And God, we know that the way that we get there, Lord, is by the choices that we make. And God, you've set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. God, you've asked us to choose life. God, we purpose in our heart this morning to choose life. We choose you. God, we cling to you. God, we hang on to you, God, because you are the life. You are the truth. You are the life and you are the way. God, you're the life giver. And so, God, we come to you unreservedly and we surrender all that we are and all that we hope to be to you. God, and we're asking that you would, God, I ask and I release by faith the power of the Holy Spirit right now to go into those places. God, the deepest recesses of the hearts of those that are here. God, that may be battling rejection, that may need affirmation. God, that may have been abused. God, that may have a low self-esteem. God, they don't see themselves the way you see them. They're not able to love themselves the way you love them, God. God, they're looking for the approval of men. Or God, they've been broken and they've lost their peace and they've lost their joy. God, they've been victimized, God, and they think that that's their destiny and their lot in life. God, we release the power of your Holy Spirit right now, Lord, to heal and deliver, to go to the deepest recesses of their spirit, of their heart this morning, ministering life, ministering life, ministering life. Hallelujah. And God, that rejection, God, that abuse, that brokenness, God, it doesn't define them, Lord, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and all things have become new. God, the power of the curse has been broken. And God, we take authority over it right now in Jesus' name. All the effects. And God, we place them at the foot of the cross where they were defeated. And God, we release life. Life. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name, oh God. God, there's some people here this morning that they've been wrestling with some choices. They've been thinking about doing some things. God, that aren't wise. God, they're not a good choice. God, I ask that you would speak to their hearts right now, Lord. God, that you would keep them. That you would keep them from making the wrong choice. God, speak to them right now. Give them the grace and the faith to choose life. God, there's some here this morning that have been up in the air and they're searching for truth. They don't know what to choose. But they're desperate. They're desperate for answers. They're desperate for peace in their heart. For joy in their soul. God, their emotions and their spirit have been crushed and shattered. Father, I lift them up to you right now. I lift them up to you right now, Lord God. And God, I ask that you would invade, God, that you would invade their hearts, that you would just love on them, God, that you would love on them, Lord. Lord, like you did for the children of Israel, God, that you would love on them, Lord, and that they would know that you are God. That you love them with an everlasting love. That they've got a hope and a future. God, they're not here and you're not going to harm them. God, you're not going to hurt them. But God, you want to give them a hope and a future. God, you want them to have joy and peace that comes from believing. Father, invade them, I pray, this morning by your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, there are those here this morning that have been stuck. God, something happened to them early on in their life, in their childhood. And they've been stuck in that place. And they've developed coping mechanisms to be able to try to be able to survive, but God, what they need is your life. They need to be free. They need to be released. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would release them by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God, the yoke destroying anointing, I pray that every yoke would be destroyed. Hallelujah. God, because of the anointing, every yoke of bondage. Father, I pray, Lord God, that strongholds would be broken that have been erected in the minds of your people this morning. God, that strongholds would be broken. God, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God, anyone that's struggling this morning, God, things that have been exalted against God, the knowledge of you and your power and your grace and your freedom, Lord God, and your love, Lord God, and your plan for their life. Father, I pray that those strongholds would be broken and they would be free to run after you. God, love on them. Love on them this morning. Put lives back together. Bring about your redemptive plan and purpose, Father. There's some here. All you have to do is make a choice. You just got to tell God this morning, I choose life. I choose you. I choose to cling to you. That's it. That's it. And all heaven will meet you right there. There's others here that God has delivered you from some things and you've taken it back. You've taken it back. You don't want it back, but somehow you've taken it back on yourself. God wants you to know this morning He still loves you. You don't have to take it back. You can leave it at His feet. You can leave it at the foot of the cross to walk in the freedom that you've tasted and experienced. God, we thank You for it. We give You glory. We give You honor and praise. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Now let's worship Him. The altar's open if you need special prayer this morning, or you want to give your heart to the Lord, or you need a healing touch this morning. I believe the presence of God is in our midst to heal. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Let's worship Him together.